Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And leave your Bibles out because we're going to use them tonight. But Ecclesiastes 1, we're going to read verses 4 through 9 together. And we're going to read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. That's right after the book of Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Page number 858 in my Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Let's read this passage responsively. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. And let's pray, Father, help us tonight as we investigate your word. Lord, a little bit of a different kind of sermon, but one that I think will help us practically as we read and as we study your book on our own, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There is, I'm going to use some terminology today. I'm not going to borrow a politically correct term, but there's much false knowledge about what happened in Bible days and what Bible days were like. We've had a Hollywood Catholic Renaissance art idea of what the Bible was like, but it's not really a scriptural view. Tonight I'm going to show you of more what it was really like in Bible days, so that as you read your Bible, and when you read the Bible, you try to picture things. The trouble is, some of you have Bibles that have pictures in them. Most of those pictures are as far from what the Bible is all about as you can get. And I don't want you using those or Bible picture books or anything to get our idea of what Bible days were like. I want you to get what God says Bible days were like. Amen. And give you a little better understanding, a little better mental pictures as you read the Bible. Now, most people, because of the influence of Catholicism and false religion, have accepted what I call the Renaissance art age of the Bible. If you have a Bible picture book or pictures in your Bible, most of those were painted by people or done by people between 1200 and about 1700. Very perverted time of history. And may I say this, we accept that as the standard for the day because of what they painted. And it is not true. The feminization of men was due to the fact that most of those artists were perverts and sodomites themselves. Just so you know. I say that to say this. We are told that art is a window of society. Now, listen to this statement very carefully. If you look at the art of today, it really does not express all of what our society is about.
Right.
It really doesn't. We've been told that the arts are an expression of a society. If that's the case, rock music is not the standard. Rap music should not be a standard. You look at the average art institute and you walk in, and it's hard telling what you're going to find. And there's not a one of us that live by that stuff. Everybody doing okay? Art is as opinionated as the person painting it or doing the art. That's all it is. Just like news would be considered an art, and we know how they lie. Let's just put it where it's at. art is idealistic and opinionated. You cannot base a whole society by the art that is found. If you went to the National Art Museum right now of what has been done in the last several years, you'll find bottles of urine as art. You'll find paintings that were done with all kinds of animal and human waste. That is not what our country is. You'll find, I talked to somebody this week, they went into an art institute and they walked in, and the first picture there was about this size and it was painted green. There was nothing else on it but green paint. And it was posted in a gallery for art. Not any other color, just one color, solid, like they painted it with a roller and covered it. That is exact, and by the way, we call that art. Does that really reveal what our society is? Now, we're told to believe that, but I don't believe that. I don't believe all the music of our day is revealed in one genre of music. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
If you base our music based on what you hear on the radio, Lord have mercy. Now, I say that to say this. And by the way, the more perverted the artist, the farther from reality their art will be. And I'm going to make a statement, and please take it to heart. There's too much emphasis placed on the arts and not enough on living. Right. I'm for being able to understand music and play instruments if you're musically inclined. You can play two of them, amen? Getting them to play the same song sometimes helps, but it just, you know, I'm for, not, and I'm not against it, but we put so much emphasis on the arts that we've taken away practical Christianity. We're now bringing the arts into our church. We're bringing the arts into our Christian schools. And I hate to tell you something, most of the time it's worthless. Why do we want to be like the perverts of the 1500s?
Yes, sir.
We think it's culturally acceptable. I think it's abominable. We place way too much on it. Now, there's nothing wrong with understanding music. I can read music. I can read key signatures. I can read time signatures. I can lead singing. I can play certain instruments. I can play about half a dozen instruments. I understand music. I understand basic and somewhat sophisticated music theory even. I can get into cadences and codas and arpeggiations and all those other wonderful terms that most of you don't understand. I do. I understand it. But I can throw a baseball. I can throw a football. I can shoot a gun and kill an animal. I can do it all. I'm not going to sit on a piano and pass up a ball game either. I think that you can have a balance of doing both while you do it. Now, we have accepted the artist conception of Bible days for too long. Let me say it this way. When you think of Bible days, you think about everybody with long hair running around in bathrobes, looking like everybody else. And basically, I'm going to use a term here, it was like the Stone Age. Everybody lived in a stone house. That's not the way it was. Did you know that Noah built an ark that was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall, and it wasn't made out of stone? Now, you just don't go out and build a boat that size and then fill it with all the animals that he had to put on there and his family, and it float for almost a year. If you don't know what you're doing. God knows what it would look like if I had to build it. It would not have been good. Amen? Say, what would have happened? The earth would not have people anymore. It would have all sunk. People knew how to keep time. They knew how to navigate. They weren't bumbling around discovering life. They weren't Stone Age people trying to discover how to make tools. And by the way, most of them didn't have stone tools. All right? Now, there isn't a man in this room that hadn't used a rock for a tool at some point in time in your life anyway. If nothing else, just to throw at the stupid car and break the windows in it. Amen? You say, how do you know? Shut up. We get this idea that we've evolved into what we are today as a society, and nobody else has had it as good as we have it. And that's a lie. Now, I'm going to get pretty practical here. I have about five or six things, but they're pretty broad spectrums here. I'm going to give you some facts to help you as you read your Bible, but I'm going to have you use your Bible a little bit. Here we go. Number one, men did not all have long hair. Men didn't run around with long hair like a bunch of women. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I'm about to have some fun. I honestly do not have a bad attitude. I have a very good attitude about this. I just have a bad attitude about people that want to make the Bible something that it's not. So hang on here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's look at verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse number 14. Doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have what?
Long hair.
It is a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. All right. Now, can I tell you something? If God said it's a shame for a man to have long hair, in 1 Corinthians 14, it was a shame for a man to have long hair, in Genesis chapter 4.
Yes, sir. That's right.
There's no difference between Old Testament and New Testament.
Amen.
Just so you know. I don't believe the men walked around in long hair like a woman.
Right.
Say, well, how do you know that, preacher? All the pictures I saw, do you know when those pictures were painted and by whom they were painted? Hate to disappoint you. Go to Rome, go to Greece, and look at all the statues of the people that were of 100 BC or so. All of the men had short hair.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever see the picture of Caesar? Julius Caesar, he's got short curly hair. Ears are uncovered, neck's uncovered. He has short hair. Say why? Because that was the standard for the day.
Yes, sir.
Men didn't walk around in long hair. Well, what about Samson? Samson had long hair. He took a Nazarite vow. Most of the time, the Nazarite vow was anywhere from 3 months to a year. Either way, the Bible says they didn't go any longer than a year without cutting their hair. They did cut their hair in the Nazarite vow. They weren't allowed to have a razor come upon their head. In other words, they weren't able to shave their head. Okay? Didn't say scissors, it said razor. Now, Samson's was a lifelong, and the Bible says that in a lifelong commitment, and you can read it in the Old Testament, I'm not going to take time to turn there, they would cut their hair anywhere from 1 to 2 times a year, weigh it, and use it for other things. Okay? But they weren't allowed to shave their head. Amen, Brother Joe? that was the only difference. By the way, man, there's only a few things on your head you can cover with hair. You can cover your ears, you can cover your neck, you can cover your eyes and your nose and your mouth. Most people aren't going to cover their eyes, their nose, and their mouth with their hair. So that leaves your ears and your neck. Amen? That means a man ought to have his head uncovered, which is his ears and his neck. Okay? Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
That means to cover it, a woman's hair ought to cover her ears and cover her neck.
Yes, sir.
Plain and simple. I'm not the smartest person in the world. By the way, if you doubt me, if you go to 1 Corinthians 11 and read the whole chapter, I've heard people say, well, that's in reference to hats. Men are supposed to wear hats and women aren't supposed to wear hats. This isn't a hat chapter, it's a hair chapter. Doesn't say anything about hats. You can take a little Jewish little beanie thing or whatever they call that thing, and it has nothing to do with having a prayer hat. It's having hair on your head. The man's supposed to have his head uncovered, which means his ears uncovered, his neck uncovered, all right? By the way, they didn't have unisex haircuts. I hate to tell you, I'm not going to a beauty parlor to get my hair cut. If my dad ain't going to cut it or my wife isn't going to cut it, then I'm going to a barber shop, an old-fashioned one. You know, one with a red and a blue and white thing that goes up and down like that where there's... I was sitting in the barbershop when Dad was in Florida. Some woman wanted to cut my hair. I said, mm-mm. He said, what's the matter? I said, I know what happened when a woman cut a man of God's hair in the Bible. It ain't happening to me. I'm waiting on him. She just looked at me. I said, you say, right. You're a male chauvinist pig. No, I'm not. I'm a hog. Don't call me that. God told us, and by the way, in the Old Testament, it talked about not carving designs in your hair. It actually talks about carving designs in your hair, not having it squared off and designs cut into it. The styles of today are to... good night. We were with somebody. Jeff was with me the other day, my wife. We were driving through town, and I think it was a male that was holding the hands of a girl. The girl had short hair on the sides all the way up, and then it was all pulled up into a ponytail up here, but it was shaved all the way up to about here. I was like, good night. And what we thought was the boy had long hair, and it walked like a girl. I thought, boy, do we have this thing backwards. My son Jeff looked at that, and he said, Dad, what in the... I said, I don't even know. And I'm not sure I want to find out. But just so you know, in Bible days, the Bible characters didn't walk around in long hair. Okay? If you're walking in the desert, why in the world would you want to have long hair? 100 and 110, 120 degrees. You're not going to want to run around with shoulder-length hair. Especially if you're going to work in it, man. Good night. You want as much of that off as you can get off to stay cool. Trust me. They did not run around that way in Bible days. I got to hurry here. Number two. Oh, everybody doing okay? I love you. This one's going to ouch a little bit. Men and women didn't all run around in robes, and the only difference was the length of the robe. Okay, take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Or as one of my children used to say, Rudidonomy. Deuteronomy 22. And I'm going to show you one verse here. And we're going to just run the course here. Verse number 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to God. Now, listen to this very carefully. If the only difference in a man's and woman's garment is a bathrobe that went to here or a bathrobe that went to here, that wasn't the difference. They didn't run around in a bunch of... By the way, men, there is no way that you were going to go out and build buildings and build ships and build everything you had to build wearing a dress. Amen? Somebody say amen. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
And God knows this is true. There's not a man in the world that's going to go fight in a battle wearing a dress.
Right.
Not a one. Now, the Bible talks about men wearing breeches. How many of you ever have heard the term breeches? It comes from the word breeches. They wore a pair of pants. Now, sometimes they would wear, they had what they called a tunic, okay? A tunic, for lack of better description, and please don't take this as inappropriate, it was kind of like, it's a long t-shirt with a pair of shorts attached. That's about what it was. Kind of like a short pair of long underwear. That's the only way I know how to describe it, and it was designed as an undergarment, all right? It didn't go all the way to the knee. It was only partially down the thigh, and it was more like t-shirt-type material. They would wear that, then they would put their coat over top, or their shirt over top of it, maybe a coat or whatever to keep the sun off. They would wear a pair of breeches over top of that. That's how they would work. When the Apostle Peter was fishing in John chapter 21, and the Bible says that he was there naked, he wasn't fishing with no clothes on. He had his tunic on, but his thighs were exposed. Therefore, the Bible called him naked. Notice it says he threw his fisher's coat around him, jumped in, and went to land. He didn't go with nothing on but a robe on. You're not going to swim with nothing but a robe on. It's not going to work that way. Everybody doing okay? The men wore breeches. Man could not work, run. You weren't going to ride an animal wearing a bathrobe. May I say this? Man and woman is supposed to look different in dress. I didn't say it. God did. By the way, no man wants a woman to look like a man, unless he's some weirdo.
Yep.
And a woman shouldn't want a man to look like a woman, unless they're weird. Everybody doing okay? Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this. What the world calls a bathing suit's nothing but underwear. Why in the world would you wear it in public?
Right.
I have no idea why you'd walk out in public that way. None. Everybody doing okay? Most summer clothing is nothing but underwear. We're getting to the time where people are going to be wearing their shorts and their t-shirts and their tank tops and all the other inappropriate clothing. They'll take off everything they can take off and still be, quote-unquote, legally okay to walk down the street. But what most people wear on the outside is less than what most people wear underneath their clothing. Just because you paint it all different colors doesn't mean it's okay. Ouch, that hurt. I think we ought to keep ourselves covered. God says there's supposed to be a difference between a man and a woman. By the way, I think it's just as wrong for a man to walk down the street wearing a dress as they do for a woman to be dressed like a man.
Yes.
Matter of fact, it might be more worse. But you say, why? Because I don't think a man ought to dress like a woman, nor do I think a woman ought to dress like a man. I think there ought to be a very distinct difference in that it ought not be a piece of material that long is the difference. That's what we think of in Bible days. Everybody walked around in a robe. No, they didn't. May I say this? God would not accept that wrong back then and tell us it's wrong today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God wrote the Bible many, many thousands of years ago, and it was written before man was created. He hasn't changed his opinion of what is right and what is wrong. So, what was right then is right now. What is right now should be in accordance with the Word of God, not what man says. Boy, I'm having fun. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't think a man ought to wear shorts where his thighs are uncovered. I think it's just as wrong for a man to wear shorts that uncover his thighs as I am for a woman whose dress doesn't cover her thighs. And standing or sitting, you've got to be careful. God calls the exposure of the thigh nakedness. New styles of Christianity today are to move the skirts up above the knee. Can I tell you something? God calls it nakedness. God says we're supposed to keep it covered. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun by myself up here. Number three, there was not a small population of people in Bible days. The population of the world wasn't as small as you think it was. Now, you can do any search you want. You can research anywhere you want. But at the turn of the millennia, when Jesus was born, what we would call the first century. Anybody want to take a guess how many people were on the face of the earth?
Yeah.
3 billion plus people. World population today is about 6.4, 6.5. About half the people in the world today, there was about that many people in the world 2,000 years ago. There were billions and billions and billions of people. At the time of the flood, I had three different scientists making algorithms based on what history was, world populations, everything else. And then I did secular studies on top of what they did without them knowing I did it. And there were between 3 and 5 billion people on the face of the earth at the time of the flood.
Wow.
There was almost 1,800 years of world history, almost as much time from the time of Jesus to present day as there was from creation to the flood. There's been a lot of people born in the last 1,800 years, and they lived a long time. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. Can I tell you something? There was a lot of people on the face of the earth back then. It wasn't just a few hundred people in this village and a few hundred people in that village and a few hundred people in that village. There were cities and towns and countries, and they were well populated. It wasn't just a little bit of... When Moses led the Jews out of the wilderness, there were 3.5 to 5 million Jews. That's bigger than the population of Baltimore and D.C. and all the Metroplex put together. It's about the size of Chicago. Imagine one man without a PA system leading all those Jews for 40 years. Without a television or an iPhone. Yeah, no wonder. That's a lot of people. You have to understand something. There were a lot of people back in those days. It wasn't like what you see on TV with Charlton Heston, the Ten Commandments. All right? Everybody doing all right? I got to hurry here. Number four. They weren't Stone Age in technology. Now, I'm going to run through a whole bunch of things here. I've got probably 15, 20 different things here. But I'm just going to run through them very quickly because I still have another point after this. But they had medicine. You go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 1. It talks about the apothecaries. That's the drugstore. They understood medication. They had surgery and anesthetic. That's nothing new. Can I tell you when the world lost the knowledge of all these things? It's called the Dark Ages. That's when they quit printing the Bible and they cut God out of everything. And we lost all of that knowledge that had already been given to us. And we had to rediscover it. And it came because of the rediscovery of the Word of God. Do you know what the medical symbol in America and actually in the world today is? The snake on a pole. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That is from the Bible back in the when the Jews were in the wilderness, when the fiery serpents were biting them. The Bible says that Moses made that brass serpent, put it on a pole, if the Jews got bit by one of those fiery serpents, all they had to do is look and live. It was a symbol of healing. That's why the symbol of healing on an ambulance or in a hospital is that snake on the pole. You say, why? Because it was a biblical thing. If the world knew that, they'd take it off in a hurry, wouldn't they? Did you know that they knew the names of the stars and the planets thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago? It wasn't discovered by Galileo. Back in Job chapter 9, verse number 9, it talks about Pleiades and Orion, talks about the planets, gives the names of the stars. Did you know that they knew the constellations back then? By the way, they didn't have horoscopes back then either. Many of the stars and the constellations are named in the Bible. God gave them names and taught them to man. All right? Did you know they had running water? Thousands and thousands and thousands. And I'm talking about pre-flood. They had running water. And I'm not talking about you had a bucket and ran down to the creek and brought it back either. They knew how to have running water. They even say, and I've seen this proven in more than one case, they even had electricity back then. We know that Egypt did about 3,000 years ago, but it goes farther back than that. They actually had electricity. Electricity is nothing new, all right? They knew how to predict the weather. Bible talks about them being able to predict the weather by the skies and different things, by the different seasons. They knew when the rainy season was coming. They knew the dry seasons, and they knew how to predict all the different things. They had the Euroclidans, which were the hurricanes and the typhoons, and they knew how to know what to do with all of those. Listen to this one. They knew how to mine. Where did they get all their gold, their silver, and their precious stones? God didn't put it on the surface of the earth and say, here y'all go, and then bury it later. Gold dust doesn't float to the top. They had to be able to mine it. They had to be able to mine the different precious stones. They knew how to dig down into the earth and actually get down far enough, figure out where that stuff was, how to use it, and how to utilize it. Everybody doing okay? They had rock quarries. Where do you think the rocks for the buildings came from, and even the pyramids? Scientists are still scratching their heads because they can't figure it out. Well, duh. God taught them how to do it. Amen? They had brass. They had iron. They had steel. They had gold. They had silver. That stuff just doesn't lay on the top of the ground. They actually had to go down and mine it. They had to be able to build fires hot enough to extract it and to use it. So it wasn't Stone Age technology. Listen to this. They built ships, and Newt knew how to navigate them all over the world and get there accurately. We're not talking about the 1400s, 1500s. We're talking about 3 and 4,000 B.C., They built ships and knew how to sail from one country to another and get there accurately. If you're off 1 degree, you're in trouble. They got there knowing where they were going, how to get there, and get back. Not only did they build the ships, but they knew how to get there and get back, and they knew how to navigate them. They knew how to use wood and brick and stone for construction. I hate to tell you this, they didn't have stone hammers and stone saws and hatchets. You don't cut down timber like that with stone. They had metal. They had saws. They knew how. Now, I don't know that they had a steel chainsaw, but they knew how to get them puppies down. They made musical instruments. Many musical instruments. And by the way, the harp wasn't this little thing like this with about 10 different strings on it that you see the little thing going, you know, the FTD guy. They had actual musical instruments. They had brass instruments, and they had wood instruments, and they had reed instruments, and they had many different types of instruments the Bible talks about there. It's nothing new. Our technology did not supersede theirs. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. They had the textile industry. They built tents that would endure desert temperatures, and that's hot and cold. That's not just a cotton fabric. They built cities. They built roads. They had countries. All roads lead to Rome. That's not true. But in the Roman Empire, it was. But if you knew what the Roman Empire was, it was more than just Italy and Europe. It started in Western Spain, crossed North Africa, all the way to Eastern India. That was the Greek and the Roman empires. And they had control of that whole populace, and they didn't have newspapers, telephones, and everything else. They knew how to get from one country to another. Guess what? They had navigation ability on land and on sea. They were very successful at farming and husbandry, taking care of animals and things, blacksmithing and metalworking. Good night. They knew how to form and fashion different metals, and they knew how to make them. They knew how to beat gold out and turn gold into things and cover things in gold and silver and brass and all the other different things. They knew how to do those things. They knew how to make weapons and military weapons. Can I tell you something? They didn't all go around throwing rocks at each other. I hate to disappoint you. We go back to about 1200 and think that's all there was. Go back thousands and thousands of years. They had swords and shields. They had armor. They had spears. They had different things that they could catapult. They had, there's even evidence of black powder back then. There's evidence of black powder as far back as almost 4,000 years. Well, black powder is good for one thing. Bullets, amen? They had wells. They knew how to dig wells. Folks, you don't take a shovel and dig a well in the desert. But they knew how to dig a well in the desert. Now try that. You take a shovel full of, you get enough sand out of the way, you're going to have a hole that falls in on top of you. They knew how to find it and get water out of the deserts and some pretty tough places. The water just didn't gurgle up out of the ground everywhere they went. Everybody doing all right? They weren't Stone Age in technology. Boy, that's good stuff, and I don't have time to develop that any farther. I got to hurry because I got 4 minutes and one more point here. Number five, they were not ancient in communication. Did you know they had a mail system and it worked? Better than the United States Post Office, that's for sure. You could go to the book of Acts and find where it says the Apostle Paul went to the churches looking for letters to find out where people were sending letters from. That means the addresses. And he was going to go have Christians killed. He was looking up their records and their addresses so more Christians could be killed. Did you know that they sent word from one country to another by mail? Now, I'm not sure that they put stamps on it. I don't know if they had forever stamps. I don't know if their postage went up. But I know that they had the ability to send letters back and forth. They had contact country to country. And sometimes from around the world. Everybody doing okay? People ran kingdoms over thousands of miles and made it work. Think about a kingdom as big as from Spain to the eastern side of India and as far up as the Baltic Sea there in northern Europe, all the way down to the middle of Africa and all the way across there as one country and one leader ruling that whole area. They had to have the ability to communicate. And they did. They knew how to write. They had books. They had libraries. And I hate to tell you, they didn't all write on animal skins. The Bible talks about books. And the books, it's not the scrolls. It's the books. You hear the Apostle Paul say, send me the parchments. That's paper. Parchment paper. They wrote on paper. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. There were many different languages. They understood different languages. There were different dialects. There was probably Spanish, and there was probably many different dialects throughout all the world, but yet that's why at Pentecost it was such a miracle that everybody heard in their own language. People were not a bunch of illiterate, bumbling idiots that came out of the Stone Age looking like apes that didn't know how to do anything and discovered one day that, Shazam, we can get fire. And instead of eating my meat raw, I can heat it up and it tastes better, amen? And I don't need to heat it too far. It tastes like shoe leather. It wasn't like they had to experience all this and figure it out by trial and error. In Bible, as you read the Bible, read it very similarly and think about it in terms of relatively like it is now. Now, they may not have had cars, but they had chariots. They had wheels. They may not have had tractors, but they had mules and plows, and oxen and plows. They knew how to mine. They understood coal mining. Amen. You don't get wood fires usually as hot as it needed to take care of getting the metals extracted. They knew what coal was. So how did they figure that out? Because when they were digging for the other stuff, they found the coal and burned it. Amen? They did know what oil was. They knew how to burn oil. They knew how to extract oil from olives and other things so that they had other oils available to them to eat as well as to burn. So many different things. The world was not this ape-like stone age that we think it was. It wasn't a bunch of people wiggling around that all looked the same in long hair and robes that didn't know anybody from around the world. They knew people from all over the world. Have you ever noticed when Columbus discovered America, there were people here? There were people here, all over this country, all over Canada. The world was populated. The Europeans didn't know it was, because they weren't coming over here because of the oppression of the Catholic Church in the Dark Ages. But they were here. Boy, I'm having fun. I got to quit. So many more things I could go into. A lot of false teaching about Bible days. It wasn't as far away from being what you know today as, just so you know. Now, thank God they didn't have cell phones. But they had many, many, many more modern things than you think they had. Every head bowed, every eye closed, the piano began to play.